2004 of Public Works. Could you please do a roll call for us?
Sure.
Thank you.
Legislator Petit.
Here.
Legislator Fabiano.
Here.
Legislator Litz.
Here.
Legislator Nolan.
Here.
Legislator Erner.
Here.
Perfect attendance.
Full complement.
Yay. Legislator Litz, would you lead us in the Pledge to Allegiance?
Yes, I would. I'd be proud to.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, I will entertain a motion for the approval of the March 8th, 2023 meeting minutes.
I'll move it. Second.
Fabiano, second. Erner. Any discussion, changes, questions? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Very good. Next, we'll move on to resolution number 554. Adopting proposed local law number 10 of 2022, a local law amending the code of the county of Ulster in relation to construction apprenticeships.
I'll move it for discussion.
Fabiano, second.
Second.
Okay.
Can I speak?
Yes.
I notice again there's no language change in this resolution from last month. There was some discussion about minor language change, so tonight, that's all I got to say. I will be a definite no.
Well, are the changes coming?
They had a month to get here.
Yeah. Council Ragucci has been speaking with Council
Pasquale.
Thank you. And they were supposed to get me something by 4:35 o'clock, and I have not gotten anything. They seem to have come to a compromise between the two council people and speaking with county attorney. But I don't have it, and I just don't know how much longer I want to keep putting off a vote.
Well, I think there's been substantial progress made in terms of making a few small changes that would make this something that people would have broad support.
Where are they?
I would offer to be a sponsor on this and work to, you know, help bring them if it just needs more people to bring it. But I think that that's what we need. We need to have some language proposed, and the changes are mainly the things that if people, like changes to the number of dollars in the contract that would trigger review under this. And so bringing those, we could, you know, have some further discussion if need be on those exact numbers, but I think we're very close, and I think if we just try to ram this through, then we'll be amending it on the floor, which is mm-hmm. also a possibility. So I'd prefer to have it better that, you know, at when we vote it out and when we bring it to the floor.
Legislator Fabiano?
I think we should work on the changes during the month and bring it in the correct language for next month's meeting here, so we don't have a circus event on the floor.
Yeah, I think that's better.
Kelly?
Can I ask what the proposed changes are affecting? I know that I had discussions about moving from 350 to 700,000 in terms mm-hmm. of the contract threshold.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there were some discussion around gradually implementing
right.
the threshold, but when I talked to some of the core supporters of it, they weren't at the time okay with that part of it. So I'm trying to understand where the conversation is. Like, Clint will review if this is legal or not, can we implement it or not, which
mm-hmm.
I'll look to that advice, but I want to understand, I guess, like,
so
what the positions are, so I can take it back to my boss for discussion.
Well, the one was phased in, right?
Yeah. So I think the first one was the trigger for the review in terms of now it's just bridges and road projects and a dollar
700 or so.
Dollar figure 700,000. And then the other was during the initial period of the law being in place, what is reasonable to ask for organizations that haven't known that there was going to be a certain graduation requirement. And the notion that you have to be at an average of 3 when you're starting from not having had a history was hard for me. But 2, I think if it's a program that doesn't graduate 2 people and they want to bid on projects at that level, so I think that needs to be addressed. But I think 2 people is a potential compromise for the first year or 2. And then another potential compromise is that the requirement not have an average going back in time, which requires a history of being under this law, which there isn't, but that would be 2 graduates in the year of the first year of its implementation, 2 for the next year, or maybe 3 that next year, and then in the 3rd year, an average of 3 a year for the preceding 3 years. I think you can start generating averages once you have a history of living under the law.
But
So the other things that I think have already been addressed is one of my concerns was, would minority or women-owned businesses be, excluded in some way? And that seems to not be an issue. And there was another requirement like that. Oh, that the question of what happens if no bidder meets this criteria is apparently dealt with by an earlier version of the law that remains in place. So there were 5 things that I thought were fairly problematic, and now they're down to like just the details of 1. So I don't know that everybody... I think that there were a lot of people willing to accept it, without regard to all those concerns. So I don't know if anybody else has any further concerns than that, but those things could all be addressed for me.
I mean, it would be helpful, because the way it reads now, they have to have a 5-year history of graduating union apprentices. But, I mean, I would be happy to pass it like this as well. But Deputy Kelly and then Legislator Erner?
So does the graduated level, as you describe it, is that weaker than the existing law, though?
I think it is for a time period. And that weakness is, in my mind, part of what we do to offer people who are working in this field the opportunity to comply and bid on projects so that you don't have a firm that without... it's knowledge that we would do this.
But they already have that knowledge, that they're already under a requirement to have at least to participate in a program that has a 30% graduation rate. So we would actually be regressing in the first year. So we've already set a public expectation that in order to do business with the county, that you must participate in an apprenticeship program with a 30% graduation rate. We would then be saying for the first 12 months of our new law, you don't have to show anything. You don't have to have a program.
Don't we require a minimum of 3?
Do for 3
years. No, but I guess the language that we're talking about now would actually
would
be...
require 3.
No, I think that's a fair point.
And year 3.
But
year 1, you're exempted from everything, even the 30% requirement.
The old law said 30%.
Correct.
The new law says a minimum of 3.
In year 3, and when we're talking about the compromise, in year 1, you would actually have to show 0. You don't even have to have a program. That's the change that we would do.
But
and I'm saying we should stick with, at least at minimum, the existing law's language, because the county's already set an expectation that you must be participating in an apprenticeship program.
Yes.
I guess I don't want to, I do understand what you're trying to do, but I don't want to go less than what's already in existence because there is an expectation for firms bidding on our business that we want apprenticeship programs.
So if Phil is agreeable, I'd like to respond on this point. That makes perfect sense to me, and I wasn't anticipating losing the existing requirement, but I didn't specifically say keep that in place while we go
to
this other requirement. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So as it stands right now, the 2 lawyers... Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the 2 lawyers have it. They're hashing it out. They're going to come back with complete language that we agree with. So why would we not
get that language from them.
I'm okay with that, but I do want to just say that the county attorney is reviewing it for legal.
I'm not talking about the county attorney.
I'm talking about the county executive who I represent, right. And what we're going to support is a different conversation than the county attorney reviewing it with legislative counsel. They're looking at the legalese and is this defendable, implementable, all of those things. I still have to go back to my boss, and we do support it as written, but I understand the conversation that's happening.
Sorry,
here.
Phil.
That's okay, Herb. I just want to state it on the record a little bit of an email conversation that had happened around unions, and I think Chair Petit, you'd mentioned union apprenticeship here, and I don't see that specific language in here, but I know that union representatives have brought us this to this point and asking us to contemplate this. And although it isn't explicit there, I think it's important for the public to understand that is a dimension of what we're talking about here. And if it's a union-run apprentice program versus a non-union apprentice program, if we're talking about an open shop versus a union shop, and obviously our county works with both. We have business tonight on this committee about the Electrical Licensing Board, which has membership that are union shops and open shops. So the county has a history of accommodating these different things. I happen to be of the orientation to want to bolster workers' chances in this economy that we have. So I'm very interested to hear more, as we're still contemplating this apprenticeship, from the affected workers, be they in unions or not, and what their reasons might be for supporting this or not. And I know we've heard from some firms, but I'd love to hear from those firms' workers too, as well as the union apprentice program and other trade unionists that this might affect. That's sort of the talk around minority and women-owned businesses is one way that we address equity, both through state and local law, but labor unions is another for me. Thank you.
So what is the committee?
Well, I'm going to be a no tonight because I don't see the changes in front of me, but okay. Legislative
or,
night.
Or do you want to make a motion to postpone it for a month?
I would like to make a motion to postpone for a month.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Am I right?
All in favor?
This way we know before we go to the floor, it's the way that we want it to be.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Because you know how it gets when it gets on the floor, when you got to do changes, and then it turns to be a circus event for 2 hours. And I don't feel like sitting there for 2 hours listening to 13 people say the same thing.
Look, measure twice, cut once.
Hmm.
Okay. I'll get in touch with you in the executive's office tomorrow. Resolution number 78, amending the 2023-28 Capital Improvement Plan Program, establishing capital project number 659, the ARPA solar and EV charging infrastructure.
Delighted to move it.
Second?
Thank you.
This did rate fairly high on the, what do they call that?
Matrix?
Yeah, the Rubik's. Is that it? Legislator Erner.
Thank you. We have a reduction of $500,000 in this. Why?
What's the reduction?
The overall capital project had been for $3 million, and we added EV charging in another committee, and now it's $500,000 less. Yeah. It's
probably
$2.5 million.
My guess would be it happened in ARPA committee that they were trying to stay within the amount of money they had. But I don't know that. I wasn't present for a discussion where that was.
This was brought forth by the legislature.
Oh, this one. Okay.
This one was brought forth by legislators Corcoran and Criswell, I believe, the chair and vice chair of that committee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can text them when he was at the meeting, but I don't know if that's the...
I was at the meeting.
Kind of information thread you want to go
on. Don't remember why. But
because up here
I guess in general, if it's a reduction, they can figure it out in ways and means, I guess.
All right. If there's no other discussion, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 124, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 3 of 2023, a local law amending local law number 3 of 2019, a local law establishing the Ulster County Electrical Licensing Board and providing for the qualifications, examination, licensing, and regulation of electricians in Ulster County. Motion for discussion? Legislator Erner, second?
I'll second it.
For discussion?
Okay, do we have any discussion on this? Legislator Erner.
So I see as presented, and I wanted to offer a couple other technical amendments as well. In section 1A, it says Kingston. I just wanted to clarify the city of Kingston, which has a member on this board, a permanent member, and it says city below in section B, so I believe it's meant to say the city of Kingston. And then the other one would be under still under section 1 part C. I believe we talked about this last time and proposed just striking the word grandfather. We had heard from legislator Uchitel why we might not want to use that language, and it means the same thing if you just get rid of that and say this clause. So I would offer those two as friendly amendments.
Can we make those amendments in that committee if the sponsor is not here?
I don't think so, but
okay.
I believe he is in Laws and Rules, so that's where it's going next.
Could we roll a note after him?
Yeah.
You want to postpone it until we get that change?
Then we'll have to come back.
Postpone it, yeah.
It's for the public hearing.
Yeah, it's only for a public.
Oh, for a public hearing?
Public hearing.
It's more verbiage than...
Yeah. I'm okay to go ahead and expecting change it in Laws and Rules.
I'll make a note for Vicki.
Thank you. All right. Any other discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 131, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the town of Ulster and ARPA subrecipient to partially fund replacement of a municipal water storage tank. Motion for discussion.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion on this? No, I think we're going to have a lot more of these coming in at the ARPA committee. They said that there's about 11 left.
11 coming in May. I deadlined the staff, so.
Awesome. Okay.
For water tanks?
Yeah.
Really?
All the water projects from the $5 million you guys appropriated.
Wow, that's good.
So everything's moving right now.
Very good.
I signed additional staff.
Working on the street.
Yep.
All right. There's no other discussion. I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 152, confirming reappointments to the Ulster County Electrical Licensing Board.
Did you skip over one?
Did I skip? 132? I did 131.
132 was withdrawn. Sorry, that's on the updated agendas. My apologies.
So I did skip over it. No. Do I hear a motion for discussion on Resolution 152?
I'll move it.
Second? Legislator Erner. Any discussion? Legislator Erner.
I was just checking on the boards and commissions website this afternoon. It looks like there's 5 out of 8 positions that are full at the moment, so it looks like this would increase that to 7. Do we know when we're going to get the 8th appointment? Does that come from your branch of the government?
I would have to check the charter to see, because usually we have language in there that says you guys get so many appointments and we get so many, so I'd have to see whose picks are left.
Okay.
So I can have Rebecca in our office research that for you.
Is that in a resolution? Because this is a new electrical board.
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head who makes all the appointments. If it's all executive, then we'll get you another appointment.
No, I don't think it is, but I think when we pass that resolution to create the board...
It should say it in there.
It says in there who gets what appointments.
Yeah, so I'll have Rebecca in my office who does boards to look at that tomorrow morning.
I'm not sure if we or you all maintain the website, but it also referred to an incorrect part of the law that defines it. When I looked that up, it wasn't accurate, but I did find it on E-Code 360.
Okay.
Okay, so is that a website flaw? It took you to the wrong landing page, or...?
It just says
the clerk of the legislature maintains one on boards and commissions, and we do as well. I'll say that I believe the clerk's was more accurate than ours.
Okay.
So.
Smart move in this crowd.
Thank you.
All right, any other discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Resolution number 153, amending the 2023 county budget to fund the maintenance of tax foreclosed property located at 701 Grand Street, adopted and amended as presented. Did everyone get? I had it.
There are copies there.
There's copies there. I'll dig into mine. Would you like to
yes.
discuss
this?
Step?
I'll move it for discussion.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Second.
All right, so I'll walk you through just a little history and then really focus on what's in front of you today and what it is not. We filed a foreclosure action on 701 Grand Avenue in August, September of last year. That motion was granted in November of last year. In January of this year, the county attorney filed the deeds, meaning that the county government, Ulster County, now owns this facility. Mm-hmm. We are responsible for the maintenance of the facility and safety of the tenants that are currently in that space. We are now collecting rent. The rent will never equal the expenses on it because it's only about 10% occupied. But we have significant carrying costs before we decide on the disposition of the property. So what is in front of you is what we anticipate over the next 9 months is going to be our bills. That's it. This is what we anticipate will cost us in order to carry the facility because we own it. We don't have a choice. I have bills that are currently stacking up and I have no appropriation authority to pay them today. That's what we're asking for. This has zero bearing on the final disposition of this property, whether we keep it, sell it, mothball it, burn it, anything. This just gives me, no, because then I'm going to have to clean it up, right? That's our team too. Ask Leo in Buildings and Grounds, he'll tell you. So what we did is the current group, GFP Real Estate out of New York City, is the property managers. We are firing them. We are no longer going to deal with them. We are moving to a new property manager that has local experience, based on three quotes that Dean can provide to you tonight. So we did our due diligence. We went out there. We researched. Ed Jordan from Purchasing researched firms and contacted, and we got three quotes. And we have selected a vendor in order to manage the property and all the different relationships, as well as the different vendors that she'll need, whether it's a plumber or somebody to paint or whatever it is. We don't plan on painting, by the way. But we do not have the internal capacity to do this. We don't. It's a 300,000 square foot building. It's massive. So we need to keep the lights on. Even if we were to mothball it, that's a several month process, and we would still have to pay the electricity and all the other costs associated with it. So, mm-hmm. Again, though, I really want to be clear. This is just allowing us to pay the bills to maintain the facility. This does not have any bearing whatsoever on what the final disposition of the property is, whether we sell it or whatever. This is just so we can be a responsible owner of this facility. That's it. Thank you.
Legislator Litz.
Well, I don't know. In another committee, there was some opposition if we're going to sell it, why do we need a 9-month maintenance agreement? The other thing I was going to just say, you said you went and researched and asked for quotes.
Yes.
This is a $500,000 contract.
No.
It's a $1.2 million.
No, so it's only $4,000 and something a month for the property manager. $4,000 and change. $4,800. the rest of these bills, we have to pay taxes on it.
Gotcha,
this is
gotcha.
Yeah, guys, so, like, sorry, I should have looked at the big nuts
why
here.
You didn't go out for an RFP instead of just picking three.
Because the property manager is actually one of the smallest portions. The other bills are the highest. So you've got a $500,000 tax bill that we still have to pay here. Because you have private sector tenants within the space, it hasn't been declared off the tax roll. So it's not, no assessor is going to say we don't have to pay taxes because there's people within the facility making a profit. The bulk of your bill is taxes and utilities. That's it.
Good place for a county.
No. This building is 66,000 square feet. 66,000. This is 300,000 square feet. Much bigger than anything we could ever need for the county's needs right now. And this is the county seat. So you'd have to move the legislature and everybody else, and you'd still only occupy less than a quarter of that space.
I didn't say occupy the whole building.
So we don't want to be landlords, really, but I don't know. That's a discussion that can be had tonight. I really do, on this resolution, I need the authority to pay the bills, guys. Like, that's literally it.
No problem.
And I don't want to, we could debate the other part of it. I just need to pay the bills.
Sounds like a landlord request.
It's a landlord request. I never wanted to be a landlord, guys.
Yeah, this is all very helpful, and I, you know, definitely want you to take care of what we've acquired. But there are two things that are still just not clear to me.
Yep.
One is that Resolution 154 is approving a contract for $1,200,000
mm-hmm.
with Viteri Real Estate,
mm-hmm.
which is a very different number than what we presented here as the
yep.
to go to Viteri. So explain that.
Yep.
And a point made in Economic Development Committee last night was and caused the defeat of a resolution to advertise this building for sale was, why would we put all this money into maintaining it and then try to sell it? So can you explain the relationship,
yeah.
if any, between desire to keep it running and potentially to sell it?
Yeah. So what you had before you last night was a resolution to surplus it to UCEDA. It was actually not even to surplus it. It was actually for a public hearing to surplus it. That's the first step you have to go through in order to do it, because the county can't market and sell for less than what's owed. What was owed was over $10 million. You'll never get $10 million for this facility. So we would be stuck there. There are certain rules that if we sold it significantly below, we would run afoul of the gifting clause in the state constitution. That's why you use a development corporation in order to market and sell it. Or we could just go the auction route. It would take two passes at the auction route. First pass, you have to offer it at what's due. The tax is due, so we're back at that $10 million number. Then we could wait another year, and then next year we could then auction it. The most efficient route of doing this is through the local development corporation, UCEDA. So that's why you use those entities. That's partially why they're created. The part about the contract is so the property manager handles all of the bills.
All of those bills.
So we're not out there setting up individual accounts on a building we only intend to own temporarily. So Central Hudson, garbage, all of the different vendors that person's going to be managing, the invoices will be hitting us. We will approve every expenditure, but the contract is with the property manager. Her fee, $4,800 a month, no more.
Okay.
That's it. Everything else goes in that broken out budget. There is no capital improvement. There is no investment happening in this space, period. The only thing we are doing is making it habitable for the current occupants. Even if we mothballed it, there's going to be expenses on a facility like this. Otherwise, it deteriorates quickly, and then we're going to start losing even more value out of it. But there are no, this is not an investment. This is a carrying cost. We're not painting. We're not plumbing. If I have to fix a heat pump, we're going to have to fix the heat pump because we have inhabitants in there. But we're not making capital improvements. And if you look at the detailed budget, it's utilities and it's taxes. and then it's $4,800 a month for 9 months. The reason why it's 9 months, it's just the end of the calendar year. If you guys agreed with our plan, and again, I'm trying not to get into the debate that was already had, but we will get there. We want to sell the facility. If we could surplus it, market and sell it, and get rid of it by June, that would be ideal. But that's not going to happen now, is it? So that's why we put in there 9 months, so we're not back before you every month to pay the bills. It's not realistic. Whatever we don't spend sits in the general fund.
So I appreciate all those clarifications, and I want to state for the record that I'm not a member of the Economic Development Committee. I was attended the meeting last night, and I think there was confusion in that the committee seemed to be under the impression that it wasn't going to UCEDA, or that so that had not been specified.
Mm-hmm. I had a doctor's appointment for my daughter. I was unable to make it.
Okay. No, it's not a complaint. It's just that the extra clarification tonight helps quite a great deal.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I see on here snow removal.
Yes.
Even though we have public works.
Because
I see maintenance repair of $100,000 and miscellaneous contractual of over $500,000.
So if you ask your DPW guys in buildings and grounds if they have the capacity to maintain a 300,000 square foot building, the answer is no.
For snow.
For any of this, we have been acquiring properties, and the DPW crew is already down. Talk to the bridge crew. Talk to the MEOs and the CEOs. Talk to the buildings and grounds guys. They're at capacity and more, and we've bought 368 Broadway and other facilities. So I'm not, like, this is supposed to be temporary. We foreclosed on a facility we didn't want, and now we're trying to get it off of our hands and back on the tax rolls. We shouldn't be also hiring permanent staff to do a temporary function. The miscellaneous contractual, most of that's going to be your utilities. And we've also set aside money because we know that they're down to one pump on their HVAC system.
So
we're hoping we can limp
investing.
It through.
Yeah.
Nothing will happen. I'm just telling you, nothing's going to go through. There's not going to be money moved out of this division within DPW. The comptroller's not going to approve it. It's all going to go just to carrying this building for as long as we have to.
But this is how we started with Enterprise Drive. It was the HVAC system, and then we were looking at asbestos, and we were looking at water.
I'm not looking at any capital improvements.
Into a building that we gave away.
So we're not looking at any capital improvements, and County Executive Metzger has asked that we move quickly to sell the facility. This is not Enterprise, this is not iPark. It's not any of those things. So I'm here. I'll be accountable to those words.
Unless Joe Cotter buys it.
So we can't move the...
I'm not going to string this one out. It's a different building in a different location. It is not the same. I don't know, because I've heard legislators now say that they want us to entertain keeping it. It hasn't been part of us. This is a building that was built in 1983 for IBM's purpose and then vacated in 93, and it's never really been occupied since fully. It's had different iterations of different smaller outfits, mm-hmm. but the majority of this has been unoccupied. CAPSH is in there. CAPSH is, they maintain the entire tolling system on the New York State Thruway. They're the cashless tolling vendor. They're going to stay local. I don't know if we're going to be able to keep them there, because they have an installation and a testing site in Saugerty, so they have an incentive to stay in Ulster County. We want to keep them here. The other outfits, I believe, will start to walk. But the problem there is we lose our rent guys, and we still own the facility. So the longer we wait, the more we will have to pay. That is for sure. We don't want to make improvements here, though. We want to get rid of the facility.
But there's still a substantial amount. I mean, gas and electric and everything. We're
absolutely
fine with that.
So we're getting some of that money in there.
Start investing in this property, not knowing. I would like to see a subcommittee set up where we hit the road running and start meeting immediately.
We
to discuss all of this, especially when we're talking about $1.2 million.
No, Laura, Chair, you have a $500,000 tax bill that is 50% of that.
And then
even though it's a county property, we're still paying the tax.
Yes, I just walked through that. Because you have for-profit entities in there, no assessor is going to tell us that we have to pull it off.
Okay.
We have to pay that bill.
So that's
there's no investments happening here. So I can...
Okay.
It's a bill stack. That's what it is. And Karen from Beltry, she walked through and got us down by another $70,000 from what from GFP's estimate. We're hoping that we can pay none of it. I don't want to pay any of it. But we have an obligation. We own the facility. We took it. Next year, when we get to the point where this is no longer a county facility, we're going to have a cost avoidance of $1 million a year in what we were making the town of Ulster and the city of Kingston School District whole on. So getting rid of this facility, it's not even about the taxes they'll pay. It's about the taxes we won't be making people whole on anymore. That's the cost avoidance that we're getting towards. But right now, we own a big building with tenants, private sector. We have to take care of it. They are paying rent. There is a revenue in there.
Mm-hmm. I just do that.
So you do have a revenue.
All right.
It's just not the whole thing.
Legislator Erner.
And just one more time, we're still on the first resolution, but the second one relates to it too. The $1.2 million is what?
So you're paying $4,800 a month. So there's an entire budget in front of you.
Yep.
That's what you're paying for.
Okay, I see a total expense of $1.5
million. Every line next to it has the different expenses that we've enumerated for you guys to see where the money is going. So we've detailed it out in a budget exactly what it's going towards. $544,000, roughly your tax bill. And then if you start looking at your utilities, we all know, are through the roof. And on a massive facility, we can't just zone everything off and shut it all down. It's not how it works. It's an old, efficient building. It's going to be expensive. So
when
the budget
it says
is detailed.
Roof repairs and...
Small roof repairs.
Under...
Small roof repairs.
So we are still repairing a building.
There's a leak. On
because
a building we own, we have to fix it.
If my house was foreclosed on, you wouldn't come fix the roof so you could sell it.
You've got people living in it. We have tenants in there. If there's mold, we are legally responsible for it.
Yeah.
There are people working there, guys. We can't just leave it and let it rot.
Once they take ownership, they take on
we
a lot
took
of
ownership
a
in
lot
January.
Of responsibility.
And it made sense for the county to take ownership based on this $1 million a year loss, you know. So this is just the pain that comes.
No, I understand that.
Having, you know,
I
having
totally
to
understand.
Keep it going. Oh. And this budget looks very reasonable to me for a building that size.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks very reasonable to me for a building this size, which
I
is five times smaller. So
your electricity is $236,000.
That's crazy.
Solar
you get solar on that, yeah?
No. Get rid of it, please. I got enough facilities.
Tell you about the budget. I mean, if you take the taxes away, we're almost at a net zero.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Taxes. Were, you know, the
from the tenant.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense to be where we are today on a building that wasn't paying taxes but was basically floating at even.
Yeah.
And never really occupied. They didn't pay their taxes, therefore they could keep it floating in neutral. That was the only way to ever make it work.
Which is probably why they didn't pay.
Which is probably why they didn't pay. So we're just trying to keep it in neutral, but we have to pay our taxes.
Right, right. No, I see.
That's the loss for us, but it is.
It's just there's still investment in the property.
No.
No.
No, there isn't.
There's still roof repairs. I mean, it's $45,000.
If the roof is leaking, then that's not an investment.
It's a $5.5 million roof replacement.
I mean, say the other property manager just let them sit there with a leaky roof, and they still paid.
They were paying significantly more than us for what they were. They were paying the property guy $85,000 a year. We've gotten our property manager at a significant reduction from what GFP was doing.
Mm. Yeah, I just worry about any repainting. I mean, it's just the repairs. Everything else I'm okay with.
Our tenants pay.
Tenants
pay nearly a $500,000 a year. We cannot just let it rot with them in it.
Yeah.
They have an expectation as a tenant, and we need to be responsible.
They did the same thing on a house they foreclosed on. because of the property maintenance loan shortage. It was an eyesore with the neighbors. They were driving me crazy.
So the bank came and fixed it?
No. And then the county came and fixed it the day after the older because they, our county, our town building inspector sent them a summons.
Mm-hmm.
They were the owners. They had to comply like everybody else had to comply.
And you know, my feeling is that we shouldn't be the worst landlord or the worst shepherd of a facility like this, that we, you know, have to wait until a building inspector comes and tells us there's a violation.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I agree with the principle that we not invest in it if our
exactly.
plan is to sell it and sell it as quickly as possible. So that, to me, seems like where we should be. And these figures are to cover through the end of the year, but might not be used. Mm-hmm. So as soon as we sell it, we won't have these expenses. And if there's a $45,000 line for roof repair, but you can fix it for $15,000, then okay. my understanding is that the...
Oh, this is county, though. You're not going to get a $15,000.
Well, but my
point is... We will only pay the invoices as submitted.
My
We're
point
not,
is that they will keep it as low as possible because
yes.
it's our, all of us are trying to save the county
yes.
money.
And this committee is not in favor of setting up a subcommittee to further discuss this before we start, before all of a sudden, well, now the roof's not $45,000, now it's $90,000.
Yes, but we own the building.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how to get
and
out from under
the
fact
building.
That
well,
we own a 300,000 square foot building.
Just surplus it now.
You guys said no.
The committee last night slowed them down.
I just lost 30 days. Like, there is no way this is going to happen now because the committee killed it last night, so I just lost 30 days on a sale. That's it.
Legislator Arnold.
I mean,
that gentleman had his hand.
No, I was just going to mention that Karen Bateri, who's going to potentially be the property owner, she has reached out to a lot of the vendors and
mm-hmm.
cut a lot of these costs down. I think Chris had mentioned that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So even with the roof repairs, when I met with her, she had a one of her roofing contractors out there and was able to give an estimate that was much lower than the original estimate for the repairs. And again, we're not there to make investments in it, but the roof is leaking at
yeah.
multiple points, so it's just to repair it to try to get us through.
And the HVAC and the heat pumps, that's another $50,000.
You have a you only have one heat pump left
there's
out of three.
Four. There's four pumps. It's running on one.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we're about to hit the summer.
And you said Karen is about to become the owner, but I think you meant the manager.
Manager,
the
yes,
property
please.
Manager, not
yeah.
owner.
I'm ready to support this, but I also support what you're saying, Chair Petit, around since the other committee didn't support going ahead with surplusing it, perhaps we should have a conversation between the branches about what happens to it now.
I'll make two suggestions. So as part of Enterprise West, we are required by resolution to submit a monthly expense report to Ways and Means, and we've been doing that ever since. So
mm-hmm.
if you guys want to make that requirement, we'll do the same thing on this property to give you guys a monthly expense report in the same format. So in an effort to show transparency and an up-to-date look, I think that would be good for us as well. Keep everybody on the same page. The second part is I'm still trying to catch up to where the discussion went last night. Was it defeated or was
it
postponed?
It was postponed.
So we have 30 days to discuss. That's an economic development committee, so I will just flag that it's currently stuck in that committee, not in your, it hasn't made it here. So if the discussion's going to happen, it's going to happen in economic development. That's the contract for Belcher. That's the only other thing. We're happy to have the discussion. I was talking about it with the county executive today, and I know she was talking about it with Chair Bartels.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have it, because any delay on planning, we lose 30 days every time.
But honestly, discussions between the higher-ups never trickle down.
No.
And then we get hit with this on the night of, or 4 days before at 5:15 on a Friday.
So tell me how I can help facilitate
a
conversation
it's
about
a
the
lot.
Disposition. I don't
so,
know
so
what more I can do.
I think that the suggestion that we have the reporting back on this
is
to me a very good resolution to get the kind of information you're talking about. I think that the management of this building is, you know, a completely 100% example of something that's just implementation. Mm-hmm. It's not legislative. Basically we want them to sell it, and we want them to treat the tenants well while we have tenants
right.
there that are
ours.
Or
do we? I mean, it's a great piece of property, and the building is not in that bad a shape.
Well,
it needs like an $8 million
and
roof.
And we could get it. Well,
and
I think that what we should do is move the resolutions we have in front of us ahead, and we can still have that conversation of does the legislature think that the county needs this kind of building? I don't. I think we're doing well to be managing iPark and Enterprise and getting those things going. And if we can sell this and let somebody else do something wonderful there, that's much to our benefit, I believe. But I think we can have those conversations while this is going forward, because we can always stop that. And we certainly want the roof not to be leaking if we're going to keep the building.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but as part of this board, we just like randomly will say, hey, what's going on at 701 Grant Street?
No,
we're going to have a monthly report to discuss that.
Require us to give you a full monthly accounting of it, and then the only thing I meant about economic development is that's currently the committee where it resides.
Mm-hmm.
That particular resolution resides there, so that's where I feel like that's where the discussion currently is stuck. If there's something from your perspective as chair and vice chair that we can do from the county executive's perspective to facilitate a conversation that is, like you said, not just at the leader level, let me know. But I would just ask that economic development is part of that conversation as well, because it's currently there.
And this
I'm happy to come talk
being
to any of them.
Is by Public Works now, correct? And
what?
We've moved some stuff over. This building's being used by Public Works now?
Yes, we have temporary...
Because the Enterprise Drive had asbestos.
Yeah. No, not because of asbestos, just because we're hopefully closing on it and getting rid of it. But
okay.
Yeah, we currently have... DPW is currently there, parts of them. But luckily it's been a town-inspected building forever.
Mm-hmm.
So we know it's got a certain seat about.
Call the question?
I'm really uncomfortable. So I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Next, resolution number 154, approving the execution of a contract for $1.2 million, which is that going to be 2 years? Because the net was $616,000. Okay, wait a second. Do I hear a motion for discussion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay.
Single year. So the budget that you have before you,
mm-hmm.
you see that what we would have, this is a prorated 9-month share, except for the taxes obviously aren't a prorated share. That's mm-hmm. the full bill amount. So it's just to get us through the end of the budget cycle, again, hoping that we get rid of it. But if not, at this point, I would unless some major movement happens over the summer, we sell it, whatever, before we submit the executive budget in October, this is it. This is the last request, hopefully.
Okay.
But my point is
the previous resolution said the net county cost was 616, and that does include the $4,800 a month to Vitier Realty.
So we did not amend the second resolution, so it needs to reflect the updated budget, which is in... That's what happened there.
So can we do that here?
Right, so...
Or do we approve it and notify Ways and Means?
No, I think it'd be better if we can do it here. Is it the $1,153,285?
It should be $70,000 less, right. It should be the new budgeted amount, which was...
So that would be it.
Yeah.
There's a total expense on the budget that is...
Yeah.
1,000. So I make a motion that we amend the amount in resolution number 154 from 1.2 million to $1,153,285.06.
Second.
All in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Can you just repeat that number one more time?
Yeah, I'll just show it to you so you.
Any other discussion on this?
Okay.
We're going to be watching this one. I'm really just uncomfortable with the whole process right now. But just the millions more getting put into a piece of property that we're going to sell to.
Help me sell it then.
Yeah, we should. You know.
Petition to discharge.
If they had postponed,
yeah.
If they had voted it down, I'd
all
be
right,
doing
Mike.
That.
All right. So, all in favor of 154?
Aye.
Opposition? Any abstentions? Okay. Resolution number 159, approving the execution of a contract for $646,632 entered into by the county with Barton and Ledoux.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Yes. Legislator Erner.
With the chair's permission, I had invited a couple of members of the Trails Commission to come, and I see a couple here. Maybe they could tell us their view on this project.
Okay. And we have Kevin Smith and
John Gross-Bolin.
John, thank you.
Hi, so I'm currently chair of the Trails Advisory Committee. John is not an appointed member of that committee, but John is the chair of the City of Kingston Complete Streets Advisory Council. And both of us are involved with various rail trails, myself with the Ashokan, John with the O&W in Walk Hill Valley. I just want to hopefully thank you all for supporting the project in its entirety. And this contract department with Judas as part of it. In our view, this is a really important project for the county and for Shandaken. These are competitive funds. It's 80% federal funding, 20% county match. And I think the total was somewhere just under $4 million. The opportunity and the need in Shandaken for this conversion of the rail corridor. This is not a destination trail in the sense that the Ridge Trail is in New Paltz or the Ashokan per se, but what it does do is the real value of it is what it connects. The Pine Hill Day Use area, Bel Air Beach, an incredibly popular, utilized recreation area by the local community in Shandaken, as well as visitors. The village hamlet of Pine Hill itself, this runs right behind in the back of the village, and then it will connect directly into the hiking, cross-country skiing, mountain bike trails, the existing trails at Bel Air Ski Center proper. In addition, there is a approved trail plan by New York State DEC Region 3 as part of the Shandaken Wild Forest that is all of the property above the rail corridor, 1,200 acres of which they have a multi-use trail, cross-country skiing, mountain biking, hiking, plan for that approved and funding in place for that, for which the rail corridor, the UND corridor, actually provides some of the really key access to. So when this is completed, it will allow people to move safely between, at least in its first phase, from Bel Air Beach and I would say the Giggle Hollow Trestle, which is a iconic historic trestle at the back of the Bel Air Beach Day Use area, between there and the foot of at High Mount at the foot of Bel Air Ski Center. I would also mention there's a agreement in place with the Delaware and Ulster Revitalization Corporation, the scenic tourist rail operation out of Arkville, to come back to the foot of Bel Air there at High Mount, and where there is an interconnect proposed if they are able at some point to extend their operations east from Arkville, there would be a trail rail interconnect there. So it's a very important project. There's a consistent grade there And that's a really important part of this as well from a transportation and recreational trail perspective. Route 28 in that section has a very big, long hill. If any of you have ever been on it in your car, I've biked it. I can tell you it's a job to get up that. And getting people off the highway and on a very continuous grade that connects to these locations, I think is really important, and I think it'll support Bel Air as with climate change. I think we have the potential to develop complementary activities. When snow is less reliable, we will have hiking, mountain biking, those kinds of activities to really support that area. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? I mean, I think our money here moving forward should be going to housing, but...
So,
okay.
So, this money cannot go to housing.
It's already appropriated.
80% of this money is from a transportation fund that can only go to transportation. And the way that we have money to be supporting as much housing as we are doing in Ulster County, part of it is because of the recreational tourism that we generate that generates sales tax, that has kept our sales tax going steadily upward over the last decade. So it's not the only part of that, but it's a very, very large part of it. So if we provide this for both tourists and residents, we improve quality of life, and we generate funding that this legislature has shown it has a very strong interest in directing to housing. So I would like to see housing and a quality of life amenity like this and a transportation alternative like this go together, just like environment and economic development can go together if you do it smartly. So I think it's really important not to put these two good things in conflict with each other, because I think they really do reinforce each other if we do them well. And this is a very good example of doing it well.
But now we're up to almost $5 million just in the last 2 months.
The amount of money that we spend on trail development returns to the county in multiple different ways. I just mentioned the sales tax revenue from increased outdoor recreational tourism. But for every dollar we invest in trails, several studies show we get $3 back in saved health care costs. Because if trails are closer to people, they use them more. When they use them more, their health care costs go down. It also is just a quality of life that we invest, you know, $5 million is a tiny amount as compared with, for example, vehicular traffic. The amount of money we'll put into roads and bridges tonight is $5 million tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So this is incrementally so small, and for it, each dollar invested, such a big benefit that I think that we ought to really look at that ratio and not just a total amount, especially if we were, you know, if we were up into very huge numbers,
mm-hmm.
which I don't consider $5 million for a county our size to be. We don't yet have.
Yeah, but I think the total's well over $30 million by now in our trail system.
On the trail system.
Even ARPA money, you know, 2.1 to OSI, and I know.
Tourism brings money to the county.
Yeah, but for who are the businesses?
It brings people to the county.
$13 an hour employees can't find a place to live.
Which helps short-term rentals.
Legislator Erner.
Thank you, and thank you, Kevin, for coming and speaking to us.
Of course.
I like that this trail connects to existing public transit stops both ends. The Z bus is, if you can walk past the beach, the trail's going to be right there. The Z goes up the mountain as well. At least on request, I think every time that it goes out, at least as far as Pine Hill. And when Kevin and I were talking earlier, but Legislator Nolan, I'm sure you could speak to this as well, being it's your community, but the Pine Hill could use more connections, more opportunities. There's not a whole lot going on right now in Pine Hill, so this might help with that.
The ski center at High Mount was brought in through a constitutional amendment in 1950, I believe, because it was seen as potential for economic development during the winter in that area. So we have an entire New York State part of the Constitution set up to support this.
Mm.
And for us to then have this kind of amenity that makes it four season is really, I mean, we talk about investments, but it's really an important investment. And people that would otherwise get in their car and drive down from High Mount down to the Bel Air Beach or down to the mountain biking area can now stay in their bike, leave their car, and bike that whole area without ever getting back out on the road.
So you want to go, John, and then Kevin?
Yep. I just wanted to add that I think there's been a shift in society over the past 3-4 decades. And most of you know that I'm a veteran long-distance cyclist. First trip I did was 3.5 months. It was over 3,100 miles. In 3.5 months, I encountered 5 other touring bicyclists. This past summer, I did about a 1,200-mile trip, and I probably encountered 50 a day for the 5 weeks I was on the road. I mean, there's just been a massive shift. And, you know, from a tourism standpoint, you know, there's opportunities there if we can, you know, add these trails and eventually connect all those trails. And I don't think that it's, you know, ill-spent money to make these investments. I think in the long run it's good for, you know, the county, for the public, for the businesses. It's, you know, to be out there and use and do these kinds of things that I do. Perhaps I've got a different eye for what's going on. And to just sit and look at the numbers sells it short. You really have to see this huge shift in our society over the past, it's almost 4 decades since I did the first report, 40 years since I did that first big trip. Much different.
Yeah, I think Department of Tourism, Lisa Berger, could reinforce that. Active tourism is the fastest growing segment in the tourism industry, and it's clearly where people want to be. They want to be doing those kinds of activities. I just want to also reinforce what Kathy said, that the these are federal transportation monies, I believe.
Yes.
And these are monies that Ulster County is winning in competitive application processes and bringing them here for infrastructure capital, you know, projects in our county, which is great. The last thing about Pine Hill, I would say, just tell you a story that the first time I walked this section of the corridor with the Department of Planning and DEC back in 2014, I ran into a woman right behind Pine Hill, who is a part-time resident, 6 months here, 6 months somewhere else. And I asked her, she asked what we were doing, we told her, and I asked her, what would you think if this was converted to a trail? And she thought for a minute, and she said, I'll tell you what I think. I think that some businesses that are thinking of coming to Pine Hill and setting up their business will do so if there's a trail here. And other businesses that are here now that are struggling to stay afloat will be able to turn a profit. So I'll leave you with that anecdote. Thank you. Thank you so much for letting us speak.
Question?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? No? Okay. I'll call the question. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Resolution number 178, approving the execution of a contract for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 entered into by the County Geostabilization International LLC.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion?
Yes.
Legislator Erner?
Thank you. Which slopes is this going to stabilize? Are these roadways, county roadways?
Yeah, so this is, right now we don't have any in general, this is kind of just a tool in our tool belt that we have contracts that we do bids for. And as we have two sites that we're looking at that this may be used at, but we're waiting for proposals to come back.
So roads and
roads,
bridge,
correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Roads, slopes, yeah.
Thank you.
Well.
Anything else? Hearing nothing, I'll call the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 179, amending capital project number 585, bridge substructure repairs, amending the 2023 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works. Motion for discussion.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? I know that we're in dire need. We have 65 bridges that need repair now.
One question.
Yes, Legislator Erner.
Is there a place that one can easily see a list of all the county roads and bridges?
We have maps.
Well, no, there is a...
You should be able to get a list.
Region 8. Isn't there an inventory by owner?
I think it's their...
Transportation Council also.
Yeah, the 25-year transportation plan, which I think now goes to 2040, has that listed and probably has the scores of the bridges at that point in time in that document.
Go to the... I think it's New York State Department of Transportation, if I remember correctly, because I used to look at this. And
Region 8.
And then you should be able to get the listing, and it'll have the owner. And then the bridge rating.
Owner.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Yep. If you get stuck, just let
me
know.
Do you have a list?
Yeah.
He probably has one, too.
And we also have a county map as well that has all the county roads and shows all the bridges.
I meant, do you have a list of what substructures you're looking to repair at this time, or is this just a general request?
So, there's three bridges that are going to be using this capital. It's the Big Pond Road, Drybrook Road in the town of Hardenburg, and Becker Road in the town of Saugerty. That's the same locations.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 181, amending the 2023-28 Capital Improvement Program, amending capital project number 611 to provide funding for construction, amending the 2023 capital fund budget development port lighting retrofit. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
Second.
This is LED lighting?
Yeah. Is any of this, it was the meeting last night, the veterans said that they were pulling down some of their lighting because they got complaints at the veterans field and they were going to be...
In New Paltz?
Yeah.
Really?
And they were going to be moving it into other county projects. This is probably too big of a project.
This has nothing to do with the Veterans Cemetery.
Okay. Or there's the lighting that they're taking down.
No.
Okay. Because he joked, he said it's going to be repurposed, but...
There were
some... And then this pops up.
Some lights that were shining on the flags that they installed.
Oh, it's just a couple of lights. Okay.
Yeah, that were too bright. I guess some residents complained that they were too bright.
They were inadvertently left on overnight.
Yes.
Well, the flags have to be lit up 24 hours a day or so.
That's right, if you don't take the flag down. But they don't have to be lit up to that level.
Correct. So they switched out some lights at the Veterans Center.
Any other discussion on that? Yes, Legislator Erner.
Thank you. Are these energy efficiency rebates something we have access to as a ratepayer specifically?
Speak to that. Yes, we pay a systems benefit charge on our county electricity accounts, and that qualifies us to receive rebates under the centralized energy efficiency programs.
And we'll still be paying our bills to them, presumably. Thank you.
But lower bills.
Lower bills.
Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion?
Yeah.
Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 183, approving the execution of a contract for $409,935 entered into the county by Centrica Business Solutions. Motion for discussion.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
And this is for the development court. Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 186, amending capital project number 640, DPW large culvert program, amending the 2023 capital fund budget. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second? Okay, Liz. Any discussion on this or locations? Legislator Erner.
I wasn't able to go to the demonstrations. Did anybody here go? And can they talk about what they saw?
I think you may be talking about resolution number 184. Did we skip that?
We did. We can go back.
We did
after.
Skip that one?
But yeah. you have a motion for 186.
Okay. Excuse me.
I got overzealous and crossed it off.
So we.
I do have a question about this resolution.
About culverts. Okay.
Let's finish up culverts.
I see a, it looks like a 50% cost increase. We're seeing these, I guess, so is there, does DPW or does the executive branch have some plan, I guess, if when such costs continue to increase, like over the long term, if we're anticipating that? Maybe I'm not articulating myself very well right now.
I think you are. So I think in terms of our financial position now, these cost increases are something we can absorb. We have a significant fund balance, more than the county I think has ever had in its history. If it continues and it begins to, if the increases begin to escape our ability to borrow debt service or just our ability to pay, we'll be able to forecast that, and then we'd have to start prioritizing projects. We're definitely not in that position right now, though. So I don't want to say, like, don't worry, if that's, like, the famous last words. But at this point, we're just simply not there yet in terms of pressing a panic button, I guess.
Okay. Thank you.
I do expect that increased money coming into construction and different projects from the federal, state, and now also our level is going to lead to increased competition amongst the different contractors, supply contractors, all of it. So I do expect the prices to stay high, though, regardless of the inflation level.
Just the cost of materials from last year to this year is up 23%.
So your inflation rate's 8-9%, and your construction materials costs are up there.
Yeah.
So there you go. So at this point, we're in a very fortunate position to be able to absorb the increases and keep our projects moving. It's not sustainable forever, though, because our revenues will not continue to grow at the same pace as the expenses. So if you looked at our four-year, five-year financial outlook, you'll start to see gaps, and that's when that'll start to occur. It's just not right now.
Right. Thank you for that. I had another question.
Okay.
Thank you. So I saw on the environmental checklist that says this does not comply with Ulster County Complete Streets policy. This committee is under request from the Traffic Safety Board to update that, and we talked a little about that last time. I've invited a member of the public here who's not on that board, but to speak to that if it pleases the chair at some point. But I'm wondering if the executive branch and we can work together, like Planning Department and Department of Environment, mm-hmm. DPW, to, as we're updating that plan, to work to get to yes, so that this box can be checked yes for all projects.
I mean, I think you've named three departments that report to us that are the resident experts that would participate. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't want to guarantee getting to yes on all these things. I don't have that type of knowledge to say that.
Yeah. I mean,
some bridges won't.
I mean, this is for large culverts. This is for replacing pipes under the road. I don't know what complete street you would need to walk through a culvert.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point. I would have thought it'd be checked NA, so I'm assuming it's for the roadway above it, but maybe not.
Dean had something.
Yeah. I'm going to piggyback off of that. This wasn't a design So it wasn't designed. It's basically just an in-kind replacement. So we're not doing, we're not widening the road or anything like that.
So you're not widening the culvert?
No.
That's to your question, that's what it is. Because widening the culvert will give additional width that in the future could be utilized.
It could be used for bikes and pedestrians.
But I would underscore the legitimacy of Legislator Erner's point, which is the complete streets policy that we have right now, which is very soft and just basically calls for consideration of whether or not during the course of that work you can make a change that would make it easier to do something later. And that's true even if you're doing a replacement in kind. So I think that's the way to think about it. And out in Shandaken, we had DOT replace a bridge, and at the public hearing on it, we brought up the fact that there's potential connectivity to the Ulster and Delaware corridor. They built, at the time they built the bridge, a trail connection under the bridge extending out for a couple hundred yards on either side. We don't have the trail there yet, but the incremental cost to put that in during that bridge replacement was just minimal.
Mm.
But you had to think of it. So the complete streets law, as it's written, is to say, yes, could you always think of whether you could do something with what you're doing that sets us up to make a better opportunity later?
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And if we update it, I think we should keep that kind of approach, as well as trying to build in a little bit more push to make actual changes when we can, which was not contemplated 10 and 12 years ago when Kathy Treacy and I drafted that law, that policy.
We need to get that actually on our agenda for next month to start discussing it.
That'd be great.
I would, if I may suggest, just make sure that you reach out to Dennis Doyle and others, maybe from the Transportation Committee as well, to make sure that they're also here for that type of discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be great to have Brian Slack here.
Brian Slack.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
So we only see him at the UTC, UCTC meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
we
any
have to
other?
Invite John Grossbowlen to come back as well. Because the Kingston does have a complete streets policy that we should look at.
Yeah, we don't. We walk on the side of the road and jump in the ditches if cars come. Okay.
More aggressive than using
in my district, we walk in the ditches.
Yeah.
Don't even wait until the last minute.
Okay, so I'll call the vote on resolution number 186. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Going back to resolution number 184, amending the 2023-2028 Capital Improvement Program, Project 621, Voting System Replacement.
I'm happy to move it.
Okay, second. Fabiano. Discussion, Legislator Erner.
Okay, now I'll ask, did anybody go hear this see this demonstration?
Yeah, I did. I didn't get to both of the demonstrations, but there were two systems on the day I did visit. And I want to say that everyone should go over to this location. There's been some talk about why is the county, renting a building for this purpose, and that particular building. It is perfect. It is amazing. It's both user-friendly to the public, but then it has all kinds of storage space and different areas for working on voting machines. So my main takeaway from it was really feeling proud of the county for this facility, especially compared with previous locations for the Board of Elections. And second, I thought that the two machines that were there on the day that I were there were both big improvements over what we currently have, but maintain the central feature that I would require to endorse a voting machine, which is there is a paper ballot that is directly written on by the voter and not just a receipt of some kind that allows an electronic interface between what the voter is doing and an ability to check the counts. So I'm very happy for the Board of Elections to have either of those machines.
Any other discussion? Legislator Erner.
And thank you, through the Chair, Legislator Nolan, for that, sharing what you saw there. I have some Luddite, perhaps, concern around voting technology, but it might also just date to remembering voting on the lever machines, which I know we couldn't keep doing because they were busted and all that.
I liked
those.
They work.
Can this equipment do anything else, and what's the longevity we expect from it?
It was actually, if I may, it was the first project I did in government was implementing the Help America Vote Act with these machines in another county. So your useful life, I mean, you're running 40,000 pieces of paper through it every election, and then in addition, you have to test it, so it's a scanner. You're going to get maybe a decade out of these things, and then you're going to be on to the next machine, as long as you're maintained. There's no other real use for them, because the programming behind it is ballot specific. It's proprietary, and it's made for the purpose, and that's it. So they're used 3 times a year, including a school election, and that's generally it. But these, my understanding of these is the difference is the manufacturer, the ballot will still look relatively the same. It's still, you have, so the Luddite comment, I was there for the 06, the 07 transition from levers into paper ballots and optical scanners. You'll always have that paper backup. So if there's ever a question as to what the vote count was, you have warehouses full of actual ballots that were voted on. So, you know, nothing's perfect, but it's to have that paper trail permanently in place is pretty good. Levers, I had one fail. So during an entire day in the town of Fishkill, there was in one race, and she was on a post, it didn't matter. So I think there was 100-something votes in every other line in the town, and then nothing registered after a certain time period. So we went back and canvassed the machines, and she was the only one on the ballot. She won, but she was missing in that one election district. That one machine stopped registering. That was in 2007. So there you go.
I would just add to extend Legislator Erner's question that the new machines, and both the ones that were on display the day that I went, are far easier for people with disabilities to use, and that is one of the big steps forward with the Help America Vote Act, especially visually impaired people, but also people with mobility handicaps, much easier. And the one machine that I saw demonstrated sets up and comes down and packs more easily. And I have served as an election inspector, and having the machine be able to be set up easily can be a big help if you don't have people there that are really good to help you. And sometimes you don't. You have to do what you can do. So it's nice to have the equipment that is designed to be easy for people that aren't experts in mechanical engineering to be able to put together and use.
And since we're sharing with the schools, do they put in any portion of the finance at all?
No.
So we make them whole if the people don't.
I mean, I don't know if the this county charges a rental to the towns. Like, I'm just thinking back to my Duchess days. I don't recall if it was a charge. It was nominal.
You
we charge them for the poll books and all of that type of stuff. I just don't know what arrangement specifically that Ulster County has with the different towns.
Okay. Can't remember.
Yeah.
You mean the towns for the school districts?
Oh, sorry, for the school districts, yeah. Like, I know, like, we just loaned the machines. They paid for their own ballots at that time.
Right,
but
I think that's the way it kind of is.
They had to provide their own elections inspectors and all of that stuff that had to be trained, that type of thing, but it wasn't, I don't think there was a fee for the machine specifically.
Right.
I think that there may be some balancing in that sometimes there's a space that's needed for the election machines to be used, and the schools will sometimes provide that without charging us.
On a regular election.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, schools are integral.
They're big with that. Schools and firehouses.
Yeah.
So
that's
it kind
true.
Of, almost
in
a barter relation.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Okay, we'll call a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 188, amending capital project number 659. 2023 pavement preservation of various roads, amending the 2023 capital fund budget. Motion for discussion. Lit.
Second.
Fabiano. Any discussion on this one?
Yes.
Legislator Erner.
Thank you. I might be reading this chart incorrectly, 2023 pavement preservation, but I see a list of county route numbers and road names and then where they are, and I think some of the, there might be some typos in there, like I see Maple Avenue and Plattekill up to Route 9W. I'm pretty sure that Route 9W doesn't go through Plattekill, or Route 4455 going through the town of Ulster, for example. So maybe just check that table. Everybody else see what I saw?
Yeah, 4455 definitely don't go through the town of Ulster. The other one I'm not too sure of.
I recognize Zandhook as a street in Hurley.
Zandhook is in Hurley, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't say that it applies to this, but sometimes there is reciprocity with the towns where the county will take over and provide maintenance and for town and then
yeah,
the town
back.
Yeah,
that's true.
Back.
They still do that in some areas.
Yeah, but I don't, it still should.
But this is actual road work.
Yeah, so it still should be in the correct town.
Your name should be on that, right?
Let me take a look at that.
Okay. Would you be able to look into it tomorrow? And
sure.
All right, thank you. Would that be all right? Okay.
Sure.
Maybe it was just a matter of those are the right roads, but somehow the Excel spreadsheet
might
got moved
down.
They
got shifted somehow, yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Wouldn't change the text of the resolution itself.
Yeah.
It would certainly change the length that they're going to fix.
Yeah.
I had another question about
sure.
That. On the environmental checklist, this one under Area 4, waste reduction opportunities to incorporate that through materials management was checked no. Can someone explain that? Yes, there is no opportunity identified to incorporate waste reduction through materials management on the, it's checked no on the environmental considerations checklist. Does that just mean you can't
recycle anything?
Recycle
yeah,
it?
No, you are recycling. There is no waste. What you're doing is taking what's in place, reworking it, putting it back down,
in,
so
right?
Mm-hmm. There's no waste now. Yeah.
But I mean, I think in the language that we have is existing, it's more solid waste recycling. But that is a good point, because waste reduction is exactly that.
Mm.
Grinding up, putting the millings down as a subbase and
mm-hmm.
paving over it.
They could have checked,
yes.
And said the whole project.
Yeah.
So, environmentally sound. But I think they probably interpreted the way Chair Petit suggests, that they don't have recycling bins out on the beside the road with them.
Mm-hmm. And this capital has to do with chip seal and crack seal, so
right.
It's not recycling.
Yeah, there's no waste. You're bringing in material, you're putting it down on the road, so there's no waste.
It would be an NA.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Right.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? 190. Resolution 190, establishing capital project number 660, the 2023 bridge flag response, amending the 2023 capital fund budget. Motion for discussion.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on this? Legislator Erner.
At risk of turning this into a Ways and Means Committee meeting.
That's okay, they're going to get it next.
I do see a projection here for a 5% increase from prior year for material and inflation costs. That was actually in the capital budget that we had approved. So is that, I'm just taking that to mean that's our standard assumption at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Price of blacktop and petroleum products. And
or through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
20%. That's what I'm talking about, though.
Oh, you think it should be more?
Or what's their list?
Huh?
22 on steel and beams and all that good stuff?
It's an average on everything. Lumber, insulation, stone, oil, asphalt.
Okay, we call the vote on this one. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Next, resolution number 192, amending the 2023-28 capital improvement program, establishing capital project number 661, bridge superstructure repairs. Motion for discussion.
I will move it.
Okay.
Second.
Seconded by Fabiana.
And now the discussion part.
Yes.
Why is this listed under buildings and grounds?
Did they move our bridge people into buildings and grounds?
I don't know.
News to me. Typo.
Typo?
Do you want
to amend it? So can we fix that on the resolution? Yeah.
I make a motion that we replace highways and bridges, no, buildings and grounds with highways and bridges in every occurrence.
I'll second
it. In the title and the resolution.
All in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's a very good catch. Any other discussion on this one? Legislator Erner.
Just a comment, again, on the complete streets. We already talked about it, so just to note, let's check no again.
Are any of these full replacements of the bridges where they could be widened to accommodate bikes and pedestrians?
These are
or they're just repairs?
They're just repairs.
Just repairs. Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 194, approving the execution of a contract for $59,700, entered into by the county with Barton and LaDuce. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
Legislator Nolan, second.
Second.
Legislator Fabiano. Any discussion on this one?
Yeah.
Yes.
What's this for?
This is design on a highway and bridge project?
It's actually for the superstructure, which we just talked about. Yep. So it's the design to repair the five bridges.
Five bridges. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 195, establishing capital project number 662, the 2023 DPW guide rail replacement program. Motion for discussion.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any discussion on this? Questions? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 197, amending the 2023-28 capital improvement program, establishing capital project number 663, Woodstock Culvert number 2. Motion for discussion.
I'll move.
Second.
Legislator Litt, seconded by Nolan. Any discussion on this Cobra? I'm sorry, I didn't check it. Legislator Erner.
Yes, thank you. Can we just please have the numbers explained? Because I pulled out the capital budget part and I see the years breakdown and then I see the 250 here, which isn't a number I saw elsewhere. And I see we're accepting grant funding, so that's good, right?
Is that UCTC funding?
That's from the state.
So we are. We have a $250,000 grant that we were awarded from the state department, or DEC, Water Quality Improvement Project. Sure. And that's going to offset some of the costs, obviously, from the county.
Looks like this whole year and half the next.
Yes. Part of the estuary. The grant for the eels and the fish and the to be able
it
to migrate.
Quite a possibility. That was the one of the drivers of the grant.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The next resolution has been postponed in ARPA.
It's actually been withdrawn.
It was withdrawn. Oh, okay. They thought you might do that. Okay. All right. Do we have any new business?
Maybe.
Maybe? Okay. Or it can be old.
Other business.
Yes.
We do have Kim here if there's questions about the vehicle capital.
Yes, that was brought up kind of after the fact. Legislator Erner, you had several questions on it. I mean, I could relay what Legislator Maloney's concerns were.
Yeah.
But we have 428 vehicles. I believe there were additional ones above the normal replacement. One in particular was for
human rights.
And is there also, was there a second one with that as well?
There were additional vehicles for the new Division of Emergency Medical Services, so it's the fly cars for those positions we added in the 23 budget.
Okay.
The tow truck was also
in. Okay, I didn't know about that.
The tow truck, we had a tow truck that's 1997. Cool. It's past its useful life, we can't use it anymore. We added that into the capital as well because ours just went down. So we're using Highway's tow truck right now, which the smaller vehicles actually scrape the whole bottom of it because it's so large.
Wow.
So that was another thing that was added.
Okay. Yes.
In terms of the human rights vehicle,
I mean, I think it's great, but
part of the discussion is the county, and Kim, please feel free to correct me at any point, but my understanding is that the county used to have more pool vehicles available. Now we've reduced that number, so the ability for a department like Human Rights or somebody else to sign out a vehicle when they're traveling the county to go do casework, it's diminished.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'd be open to adding more pool vehicles for other purposes. This was just carrying forward the idea of a car for a specific purpose, for a specific department, which is seemingly where the county has gone over the last few years. I don't know if...
Yeah. Right now, we only have three conference vehicles. That's it.
We have roughly 1,300 employees.
For the entire county. Each department has their own vehicles. That's how... So if somebody has to go on a conference, they'll put in a request. If I have it, I can give it to them. If I don't,
then they don't.
All we have is three.
And I know we put in one recently. I think it was for a conference. So what is the process then? If I said, hey, I need a vehicle, and you're going to be, do you look at the mileage that I submit for my personal vehicle and say, well, you only put in for 50 miles, so obviously we don't need to buy a new car? Or, I mean, what is?
Usually it's by the department. We did get away from paying for mileage because we were paying a lot of money
mm-hmm.
out for mileage on people's vehicles. That's why we stopped that.
Okay.
That's why we were giving out vehicles. Plus, it's also right now with us going green, it's more beneficial for us because we're taking somebody's gas car and we're actually using a green vehicle instead.
Mm-hmm. I like the answers. Legislator Nolan.
I was going to comment about the fact that I think there are potential cost savings if we're doing maintenance on vehicles, you know, with county facilities and employees. But that argument actually works best on the fossil fuel vehicles because the electric vehicles require so little maintenance
mm-hmm.
that actually we've already taken care of that in a way. But the reason that the government's, you know, mileage rate is higher than the amount of your gas is because you have to pay for the maintenance on your vehicle. And if you're able to bring that into the county and let the county do it, you save money there. If you're able to have that be a electric or hybrid vehicle, then you save even more money overall on that and have the desired impact on the environment. So I was hoping you were going to speak to that. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Because I think essentially you just answered the question that was brought up during the session, and that was, isn't it cheaper to just pay people their mileage, which was a big one. I didn't think so.
No,
it's what, 60 cents a mile now?
It's like 0.656, right, or something like that is the new calculation from IRS. Yep.
And there's also the liability because you're driving your personal vehicle instead of a county vehicle.
Yeah, and I also think that people are going to end up like doing less because they're not going to want to put the miles on their own vehicle. Yeah. So they may be less inclined to go travel and do the things that they're supposed to be doing if they're always putting the mileage on their home vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, I get it. I get, like, you know, the discussion around take-homes. Absolutely get the discussion around take-homes, but when it comes to departments that are charged with doing casework and site visits and stuff, if there's not pool vehicles, then they can't do that work. So I can tell you, on the when I was on the budget side, we were stingy about these things, and we would push back and narrow it. But I think human rights, I mean, their job is literal casework and investigations.
Right.
It
all
just
across the county.
Your caseworkers in DSS are using county vehicles, and it just, this department is has similar duties.
And have you been discussing a process as far as the take-home vehicles, as far as logging and
I have not yet, but it sounds like that came up, so I have not engaged in that, to be honest.
They do log in the miles. If they have an emergency call, they do log it in. We do have a system. It is an old system, but we do, and they have to fill out a mileage sheet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The only time we really don't do it is a conference vehicle. We, you know, because I know what the mileage is and who's taking it. So, and then
we check it when it comes
back. Check it for damage, everything, when it comes back. So. But they do have to fill out mileage.
I think a robust discussion around that is always good to engage in every few years, just to make sure that the purpose by which, like, my emergency services people do have a take-home because at any point in the night they can be called out for something.
Mm-hmm.
Human rights doesn't have emergency investigations overnight. I'd assume that that's not a take-home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so I do think a revisit of these things from time to time is always useful.
Too much common sense, but...
I'm sorry, I'll leave, sir.
Oh, that's good. All right. If there's no other questions, I'll entertain
I'll make a motion for adjournment. I'll second it.
Don't all raise your hands at once. Thank you.
Aye.
Aye, yes, all in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
I hear any no's.
Thank you. Okay.